This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Hey, Lonzo Ball, it's your agent.
What's up?
I've got a commercial opportunity for you from Buzz Ball's Ready to Go Cocktails.
Nice. My last name is Ball. The product is a cocktail in a ball. I get it.
That's what I thought too, but no. They want you for your hands. They think your big hands will show off the size of their new Blue Biggies ball.
Big Blue Balls? Really?
Get Blue Balls this season with Buzz Balls.
Please drink responsibly. Buzz Balls available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzz Balls, LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We're going to go back in time.
So then let's talk about the fit of Rodgers and the Steelers, Jerry. How is Rodgers a fit?
Rich, I really don't think he is.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rodgers, he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And to that I say, awesome.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Steelers radio network host Jerry Dulac. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Albert Breer. Breer, it's been a while since Benny's on this program. His MMQB chock full of interesting items, and we will get to him shortly on the show. Great chat with Jerry Dulac, who told us all the inside stuff on Rodgers and the Steelers. Albert will fill in some blanks as well shortly. Hour number one, Jay Billis told us the world of college athletics is going to change forever, and I have no idea how it's going to go. He thinks it's actually a very good thing that there's a new construct of the way college athletics will be run in terms of paying players and things of that nature. Straight from the school, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'd love to know what you think about a few things. We have a longtime listeners on this program. I know he's been trying to do this for a bit, so let's get to it. Derek in Missouri, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek? How are you, sir?
Rich, good morning to all of you down there in Southern California. Let me just say this before I do my win-loss game. Does the Miz really think for second year in a row that the Browns are going to go 17-0? I mean, really, if that's going to be the case in his little world, the only way that's going to happen is if, in his little fantasy world, that in those pork belly animals that could say they could fly, that's going to really happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Hey, Derek, it's a bit, so don't you dare worry about it. It's just the Miz doing Miz things. Don't you dare worry about it. What do you want to do today? You want to do your thing? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, sir. Let's do it. I'm going to do the Broncos win-loss game.
All right, everybody. Here we go. The win-loss game for the Denver Broncos. Let's hear what Derek in Missouri, a longtime listener of this program, thinks when they take on the Tennessee Titans in week one. What do you have for me?
So we believe it's going to be Cam Ward going into week one, probably playing against that tough Denver defense. That'll probably be a win.
Okay, then you're at the Indianapolis Colts and what looks like to be maybe Daniel Jones. We're going to talk about this with Albert Breer shortly. What do you have, sir?
I'm thinking the same thing, too, and I would say it's going to be a win.
All right, that's 2-0 for the Denver Broncos coming here to take on Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. What do you have for me, sir?
We haven't had a good track record down there in SoFi since they opened 5 years ago, and I'd say against Harbaugh and those guys, it's going to be a loss.
All right, 2-1 now, home against the Bengals on a Monday night.
I'd say, Rick, we probably get revenge from that overtime loss last year, and that'll be a win at home.
3-1 at the Eagles.
Against the Super Bowl champions, I mean, we haven't had a good record in Philadelphia. I can't remember the last time we even won in Philly, so I'd say it's going
to
be a loss.
3-2 heading to London to take on the Jets.
As Tony Tribbiani once said, in London, that's going to be a win.
4-2, home for the Giants.
That'll be the week that the Broncos will honor the Super Bowl 50 team and putting Demaryius Thomas in the Ring of Fame, which is much deserved. that'll be a win.
5-2, home for the Cowboys. Oh boy!
We've had their record since 1995. The last time the Cowboys actually beat the Broncos, that'll be a win, Rich.
Wow, a chuckle, and a 6-2 start to the season at the Texans.
Our track record against Houston the last couple of years hasn't been so fabulous, so it's gonna be a loss.
6-3, short week, home Thursday night against the Raiders.
Yeah, that's going to be a little rough, but I'd say with it being a division rival, regardless, I'd say it's going to be a win.
7-3, home for the Chiefs.
We've done good the last couple years at home against KC. That'll be a win.
Wow. You beat the Chiefs to go 8-3 into the bye. That would be quite something, and potentially a division lead coming out of the bye at the Commanders.
Yeah, I think Jane Daniels is going to be the real deal, and the Commanders just turn everything around so quickly. That's going to be a loss.
8-4 at the Raiders.
I think we sweep the Raiders. That's going to be a win.
Oh, he thought about it. They sweep it. All right. That's now 9-4, home for the Packers.
This is where the home streak goes to bind. That's going to be a loss.
Okay. Now you're 9-5, home for the Jaguars.
Can't wait to see possibly Patrick Tanner versus Travis Hunter. That'll be one matchup to look out for this season. That's going to be a win.
10-5 at the Chiefs on a Thursday night. Christmas night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we haven't won there since 2015, and the last time the Chiefs lost to the Broncos at Arrowhead, my niece was only 3 months old, and she just had a celebrated birthday last week, and now she's 10 years old, and that's going to continue. That's going to be a loss.
Okay, so 10-6, home for the Chargers.
We wrap up the season, I believe, with, I would say, second division and a playoff spot. That's a win.
Derek in Missouri has his Broncos going 11-6. Thank you, sir. Be well. Thanks for playing. Derek in Missouri, everybody. 11-6. If they're 8-3 going into the bye, beating the Chiefs at home. Let me see here. He had them losing to the Chargers, and then he had them beating the Raiders and the Chiefs. They would be 2-1 in division, 8-3 overall. He has them sweeping the Raiders, splitting with the Chiefs and Chargers. That's a 4-2 record, 11-6. That's threatening to win the division.
Threatening division, yep. I thought he would have them a little bit higher. Wasn't he had them 12-5 last year?
That I don't recall, but that's a tall order to do that with Bo Nix at the time. But
yeah.
He has them losing at the Chargers, at the Eagles, at the Texans, at the Commanders, and at the Chiefs. Their only home losses to the Packers.
Well, 11-6 is definitely a playoff team.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you take a look at the AFC, bud.
It's tough.
And TJ, go for it. Take a look. Last year's playoff teams, I know you removed Pittsburgh, Chris. You think they're bottom five.
I do. Well, yeah, I don't think they're a playoff team.
Okay. So you take a look at last year's playoff field in the AFC. Who do you take out? You take out the Chargers? You take out the Texans?
I take out the Texans.
Why? Because C.J. Stroud is not healthy right now?
Doesn't seem like they're healthy. Don't know. Still offensive line questions.
Who wins the division then?
I think Jacksonville does.
Oh, boy. I don't take the Texans out. I don't take the Chiefs out. I don't take the Ravens out.
He's got a point, though. Until we know about Stroud and his pec, and what if this thing doesn't heal correctly?
I don't know, man. I'm not hearing that he's in danger. Okay. I'm just hearing that it's just, you know.
I mean, you know, obviously, no more than I do.
I don't know. Breer's about to join us.
Are you going
to
take Denver out?
Oh, no.
I think that's a tough one to take Denver out. I think they've gotten better. I think they arrived early last year, and they're now going to.
But you're going to put Cincinnati in, right?
I don't know. Are they going to sign Hendrickson? Is he going to play?
Well, if they don't, I mean, that'll make your decision easier.
It didn't really matter last year, and they almost made it.
But they didn't, because they dug themselves too deep a hole. I don't know. It's early June. How dare you ask me to make a call like that right now?
That's why it's way too early.
Yeah,
it really is. We don't even have the 53 yet.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on with Stephon Diggs in New England? What's happening?
I think nothing.
Nothing. right? Nothing. He's going to be fine. Everything's going
to
be good.
He showed up when he's supposed to. He showed up when he didn't have to be there and was on the field coaching guys up, looked great in drills, and he's there for mandatory. Nothing, so I think
There's no there there.
I think there's no there there.
Mike Vrabel had this to say on the subject matter of Stephon Diggs.
Good. I mean, just trying to, you know, figure out where everything is and you know, what his role is and making sure that as we add those situations, the third down, the no huddle and the red zone, that he's staying up on it, he's working hard in his rehab. And when he can, you know, certain drills he can be out there, and there's certain drills that he won't be, but I think he's engaged and you know, I like his energy.
He was seen walking out on the practice field with Josh McDaniels today. I think he's going to be a fine addition to the club.
You've got to be out of your skull happy right now. I mean, they had a terrific draft in all accounts and made some smart moves in free agency. And last year, while you're wondering, can the coach do it? Is he really ready for it? He was in waiting. He was a, they were grooming him and, you know, and to be the next head coach. And he would say a couple things in the press, and it would be like, well, it started with Mayo. It started with, well, he's certainly different from Bill. He's saying things to the press. He's definitely more open. He's definitely more engaging with the press. He's not shutting it down. You're not getting the moving on to Cincinnati stuff. It's not like Fort Knox there. And then it turned into, well, did he really have to say that?
And then he'd walk it back the next day on the radio. And you're like, okay, we could have avoided all of this.
But then you beat Cincinnati in week one.
Yeah.
Opportunistic defense.
Okay.
I know. Like you created turnovers in the red zone and stuff like that. And here we go. And then, well, like, can he win many games? I don't know.
And then what is the plan with Drake May? Why is Jacoby still out there?
Do we have the right coaches for Drake May,
Right.
And
knew we didn't have much in terms of weapons around him.
And now?
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely, positively, none of that.
None of that.
None of it.
God, Mike Vrabel.
You got a defend. You got a one-time coach of the year here now with Josh McDaniels back in the perfect role for him, it seems, with all due respect to his two cracks at coaching in the AFC West.
Couldn't be more excited.
You should be.
And as I was saying in a commercial break, I was this excited about the Red Sox 2 months ago, so I might as well just temper all of this.
Do you want to play the win-loss game?
Oh, definitely not.
Why? Why?
All right, let's do it.
Yes!
Hey!
I got him to do it. He took the bait.
Let's go. Come on. I'm feeling good.
I talked you up,
I'm doing
too.
This.
I talked you up.
You did. Was that your plan the whole time?
It was.
I fell for it.
Oh, sucker. No, but but I do mean all of that. And yes, you know, the Cardi B boat, whatever, that's just, we're bored. We're bored. I'm throwing that into the fire of we're bored. What's there to talk about? Diggs knows. Yeah. Diggs knows he's got a shot here.
Yep.
He's got a young stud quarterback.
He does.
He's in a spot where he's.
This could be his last shot to really be
exactly.
On.
Exactly. I am 0% concerned.
And when we trade for Terry McLaurin in like a week,
this guy
it's going to be super
over
great.
There. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That ain't happening.
You know what I mean, TJ?
This guy.
You want him out of the division.
Everybody.
You should want him on my team.
I mean, that is a good
Chris
play.
Brockman is going to play the win-loss game for his New England Patriots here on the 9th of June.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
That's right. Give me that music, please. Oh, feel that. Feel the energy. The New England Patriots are starting.
Jay, you should have played the Raider music.
Pete Carroll coming into town. What happens, Chris?
Well, much like the Super Bowl, we know what's going to happen in this game. That's a win.
That's a win.
It's Pete Carroll.
Disrespect is real.
At the Miami Dolphins.
Weird stuff happens in Miami, right? We know this.
Yes.
It's September. It's going to be hot.
Oh, my goodness.
Tua is, I was told on Twitter by all the Tuanon people that he's undefeated against New England.
Yeah, that is
win,
true.
Win 2-0.
2-0.
First.
Home for Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
3-0.
Home for the Carolina Panthers.
Who again? Who?
Oh, my.
4-0 start. We're back. We're talking Super Bowl.
Boy, the Miz has shown up in New England clothing.
Telling you.
All right, we're going to lose at Buffalo.
4-1 now at the Saints.
We're going to lose at Buffalo.
At the Saints.
I think we win that. 5-0. 5-1.
At the Titans. Vrabel's going back.
Oh, man. He's going to hang 80 on him. Win.
You know you've got the Patriots 6-1 right now. Home for the Browns.
Win.
7-1, home for the Falcons. Say it. Say it!
Loss.
Oh, that's because you don't want to go home and face Sarah. Jeez. 7-2 at the Bucks.
Loss. A little bit of the skid here.
7-3, Jets on a Thursday night.
Short week.
At home.
Get right, win.
Get right game. 8-3 for the Patriots at the Bengals.
Loss.
8-4, home for the Giants on a Monday night.
Win.
9-4 off the bye, home for the Bills.
Now we're talking. Loss.
9-5 at the Ravens.
Loss.
9-6 at the Jets.
Win.
10-6, home for the Dolphins.
Win.
11-6.
We're back.
Brockman.
Playoffs. Book it.
That would put you in the playoffs. And scene. 11-6, bud. Really? Really?
I feel great about it.
Do you really?
I do.
You really think you're 11-6?
I think the capability is there to go 11-6.
Start 4-0.
That might be a little ambitious.
Starting 4-0, 7-1. Okay.
It's good for business if the Pats start 7-1.
For whose business?
I guess.
The business.
All right. Let's take a break. Albert Breer is on. He's kind enough to call it on time. Zoom in Breer. On time. We didn't know we were playing the win-loss game with
we
you,
we
Chris.
We didn't.
Hopefully Breer will understand when we come back with him in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Okay, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's bring him in. He's Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. How you doing, buddy? How's it going, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
We've talked to Billis at the top of the show about the lawsuit that was settled with the NCAA and member schools and things. What do you think when you hearing about this? It sounds like they're professional. We're going to see professionalizing of collegiate football.
for sure.
Yeah, I think, Rich, is that it should have happened a long time ago. This is something the NCAA should have gotten in front of, and it should never have gotten to this point, right. You know? So that's like my first thought, is that the NCAA could have prevented all of this mess that we've all been kind of working through the last 5 years. I hope that this stabilizes things, because I'm like you, I love college sports. I'm obviously all for people being compensated and being able to get market value for what they're worth. And I'm sure that'll continue to happen beyond just the money coming from the schools. I know there are gonna be some constraints on NIL. You know, and then from there, I think there are a couple interesting elements. I mean, number one, I wonder if it's going to level the playing field a little bit, right? Because if teams can still spend NIL dollars above that $20 million, whatever it is, mm-hmm. well, then, I mean, it's still going to be the Blue Bloods, right, that are going to dominate. The other thing that I think is interesting, and this just sort of relates to anybody who has kids that are growing up and playing sports, I sort of wonder what this is going to mean for all the non-revenue sports, because I've heard a lot of people say, like, well, just take it out of the football coach's pocket. You know what these schools aren't going to do? They aren't going to take it out of the football coach's pocket. I do wonder, like, does this become, well, we have to pay the football players now, and we still need to, if we're going to be competitive, fund that program the way we always have, or else we're going to fall behind.
Right.
So now, does that mean the wrestling team's gone? Does that mean the hockey team's gone? Does that mean the baseball team's gone? At least on the men's side, does that mean, you know, maybe you're going to an Ivy League model in the other sports? I think people aren't seeing the big picture of this, you know? And, I think mom and dad who's, 12 or 13-year-old kids playing lacrosse or field hockey who are maybe hoping for a college scholarship, that might not be there, you know what I mean, in 7 or 8 years, because the model could change. Because if you're asking for this to become a business, well, if it's going to be a business, then, you know, really there's two sports and mostly one that are pulling the card on this.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show from Sports Illustrated. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Your MMQB gave a lot of detail of the Steelers' pursuit of Rodgers, and I guess it really wasn't a pursuit, right? Like you were saying that they've been lockstep since his appearance at the facility in March, Albert?
Yeah. And I think this is something where there was a level of trust that Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and the guys in Pittsburgh were able to establish with Aaron early on. Now, they did throw their hat in the ring on Matthew Stafford. They were like, pretty much everybody else. The Giants and Raiders were sort of in this category, too, where it was like, do we really think that he's going to leave Los Angeles? Do we really think that he's going to leave Sean McVay? No. They did touch base with the Rams about potentially trading for Matthew Stafford, but they never really believed that was going to happen. Then there was the Justin Fields thing, which, I think they'd made the decision they were going to move on from Russell Wilson. And then, okay, what do you do about Justin Fields? I think they still wanted to keep working with Justin. But the question was, do we want to commit lock, stock, and barrel to Justin being our quarterback in 2025? I think that's where it got a little murkier. And I think they knew that if some team was willing to do that, like the Jets were, then they'd be probably moving on from Justin Fields as well. And now what do you do? And here's the way I look at it, Rich. If you have the roster they do, and you have T.J. Watt, who's going to be 31, you have Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's going to be 29, you have D.K. Metcalf on his third contract, you have Cam Hayward at the end, do you really want to swing for a single or a double? All due respect, like, do you want to go get Daniel Jones? Do you want to look at trading for Kirk Cousins? They did inquire on Cousins. Or do you want to swing for the fences? If you know you've only got one or two shots left with this core of players, are you looking for the home run, or are you looking for the base hit? And I think that's what this was we are looking for the home run. And maybe we'll swing and miss, but it won't be for lack of trying. That we get, again, Hayward and Watt and Metcalf and those guys, the best answer we possibly can. So they really started talking, in March, and they were able to establish a level of trust. They tried to quietly bring him into the building on March 21st. It wound up getting out, but I think if you read in the story, there were some interesting details to what they did to try to get him in quietly. And from there, I mean, they've been talking regularly to the point where Arthur Smith has been building an offense for the last 3 months with Aaron Rodgers in mind. So, you know, I think that level of trust was there. I never sensed any doubt on the Steelers end that this was going to get done. Now, they had to say publicly, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. But I feel a pretty good degree of certainty that they felt like all along this was going to happen. And they let him know, you know, it's important to us that you're here for the mandatory mini camp. And he agreed to it. And here we are.
And here we are. He has shown up. So what's your questions when you, I don't think you're going to be there tomorrow, but he's going to be talking on Tuesday. What questions do you want to hear answered from Roger?
Well, I think we have respect for his personal situation, and obviously he has some things that if he wants to volunteer those, he can. But they were the main reason he stayed away, okay. Right? Like, so, you know, I think a big piece of it, and I know one of the questions would be, well, why didn't you just sign in April? I think what happened with the Jets last year left a mark on him. And this is just putting some pieces together on my part, but like, if you look at it, it's actually interesting. You look at it, right? And he was at the Jets offseason program for 8 weeks last year, and he missed the mandatory minicamp. And the reason he missed the mandatory minicamp was because of the prearranged trip to Egypt, like we've all talked about. He had talked through that with the Jets guys, and they basically decided not to move the minicamp because they felt like if they moved the minicamp up, then no one was going to show up the week after. So it was either have one guy missing the last week or have everyone missing the last week, you know? So they made the calculated decision, you know, we'll just call it an unexcused absence. And they didn't, I don't think that they really figured that it would blow up the way that it did. And I think a lot of the Jets people would tell you right now,
that
they think that people were being unfair to Aaron because they would tell you, well, Lamar Jackson didn't show up for any of the Ravens offseason program last year. Then he shows up for the 3-day minicamp and it's all good. Yet our guy is here for 8 weeks, misses the 3-day minicamp. And that is a storyline that carries into August and September and October. Does that seem right? Like, so I think that was part of the reasoning for Aaron and the timing of all of this being what it was. And he did, again, need to handle those personal matters that he was dealing with, which is why, you know, like, okay, like let's, instead of me signing in April and not showing up to anything, let's just wait for me to be all in and then I'll sign.
All right.
And that took a great level, a great deal of trust. So I think that level of trust between the Steelers and Rodgers is something that I want to explore more if I was talking to him. You know, and then what have you done to get yourself ready? What have your conversations with Mike Tomlin been like, with Arthur Smith been like? And what have you done to keep yourself ready to play football? Because I do know this, like, you know, having covered Tom Brady, you know, over the years, having covered Peyton Manning as he got older, you know, I know it took a tremendous amount for those guys to keep themselves in a position to perform at a high level. So, you know, what has Aaron been doing away from the facility to kind of keep himself ready to go for, you know, when the time came to sign, which obviously was Friday.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. In your MMQB, you discussed something that few in our business are discussing, which is Cam Ward. And I will echo the sentiments you made in your piece, Albert, which is I've not in my 22 plus years of being an NFL Network guy seen a first overall drafted quarterback discussed infrequently in the world of sports conversation. I don't know if it's because the Titans don't have an interest level in the mind's eye of the national media, or if it's Ward. I don't know, but what did you glean from your discussions with Titans folks, Albert?
Yeah, it's crazy. It almost feels like all the hype around Shadur kind of swallowed Cam Ward whole, you know? And I'm sure for you, like, you know, being on that stage during the draft, it was probably a little surreal.
To be honest with you, man, he's coming out of the tunnel to get the jersey from the commissioner. And that's when my producers got in my ear saying the Jaguars are on the clock. So it wasn't just Shadur over the next 3 days, it was Travis Hunter in the actual moment, like in a draft where there were no pre-draft trades, famously, and then one happens literally when the second overall team is on the clock, and it was the Browns. So you know, that led to something. But Ward appears to be already in in form, right?
For sure. And like I thanks for mentioning that was in the column this morning. I asked around a little bit over the last few days about some stuff that they've done with him. And I thought this was really interesting. Like leading up to the draft, one thing they found with him, and I think this happens a lot with guys coming from college now, based on the offenses that they have at that level. The Cam Ward knew a lot of football, but he couldn't always explain it. Like he knew what to do, but he couldn't really take you through exactly like why it was that way. It was like, I can tell you what I'm doing here. I can tell you like, you know, like what I'm looking at, but I kind of operate on instinct in some ways. And I'm right a lot, but like, he had a little more trouble explaining the whole thing. And so that was one thing they really tried to focus with him on leading up to the draft and then, you know, like after they drafted him. And so when they had the rookies in for the first time for the rookie mini camp a couple of weeks after the draft, you know, that started on a Friday. And on the Saturday morning, a couple of coaches come in at the 5 a.m. in the 5 a.m. hour. And there's Cam Ward running a meeting with the rookie tight ends, receivers, backs. They didn't know he was doing it. The coaches didn't. He just brought everybody in early so he could take them through the script for the day, take them through what they were going to be learning on offense. And it was, of course, a sign of like work ethic. You know, he's there early in the morning with his teammates. But I think it was also, or at least they took it this way, a sign of self-awareness. Like, I need some practice at this. I need some practice at being able to verbalize what I'm seeing out there on the field so I can help the other 10 guys in the huddle. And so I'm going to get my practice working with my peers, with the other rookies, and explaining to them what we're doing over the course of the day. And so that wasn't for show, because every day that they've had a practice since then, he's had that 5 a.m. meeting with the other, you know, rookie skill position players. I think it's kind of maybe a window into how important it is to him to be in position to get up and running and be prepared when they get to September. And they haven't named them starter yet, but I know the first team reps right now between him and Will Levis are 2-1. So they're certainly preparing Cam to be the starter there in early September.
Didn't Will Levis famously say last month, Albert, that anybody who's been in my position knows it sucks? So I think the writing's on the wall for him. You know, and plus he's first overall. I don't know. Last year, I understand Matt Eberflus and certainly subsequent reporting definitely does not place him front and center as a guy who handles a first overall drafted quarterback expertly. But he basically said it's Kalem's gig. Like they didn't split reps. Yeah. They didn't state, you know, they didn't avoid the obvious. But, you know, it's clear it's going to be Cam Ward in Denver for Tennessee in week one, which is a tough assignment, but that's why they got him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, that's
and it. I think it's you know, it's pretty obvious that's the way it's trending. I do think it's interesting, though, because, you know, I remember talking to Brian Callahan about this last year. And, you know, in 2020, they very quickly named Joe Burrow the starter in Cincinnati. Brian Callahan was the offensive coordinator there, almost out of necessity, because that was the COVID year. Yeah. So you're going to be so limited in your work that you almost had to do it. You know, like it was just, we can't waste any time here. We have to get him up and running if this is the plan. So they did it, and obviously it worked. And so they did that last year with Will Levis, you know, like, okay, like this worked for me in Cincinnati. We're going to do it again with Will Levis. And I think it's interesting that he's reversing course a little bit here. And I think a part of it, and this is me kind of putting the pieces together, Rich, like, but I think part of it is like, he wants like Cam Ward's teammates to see that he earned the job after everything that they went through last year with Will Levis. It's like, let's give Cam every opportunity to win the job. Let's plan on Cam winning the job, but let's let him earn it. So the veterans in that huddle can see, yeah, they didn't just anoint this guy. This guy deserves to be our starting quarterback, should be our starting quarterback, is our starting quarterback. So I think that's sort of the logic there, not just handing him the job. They do want his teammates to see that he's actually earned it.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. The AFC South quarterback whose physical readiness you're concerned about the most, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. What do you have?
Richardson. Yeah, Richardson. I think CJ is going to be okay.
You do.
Here's the thing. I take both very seriously. I learned a long time ago. I think there was a situation with Cam Newton where I remember hearing, like everybody else was at the time, like, hey, his, you know, that shoulder issue that he's got is going to be okay. And obviously, like, that was something that lingered and wound up kind of derailing his career, you know? Like, so I learned a long time ago that anything to do with a quarterback's shoulder, elbow, like on his throwing arm, any of that needs to be taken very, very seriously. I think CJ's got flexibility to wait and to make sure that it heals correctly. And it's not like a repeat thing the way it is with Anthony Richardson. This is the outgrowth of an injury in 2023. You know, like he hasn't had a procedure on it, a second procedure on it. He had the first procedure, but he hasn't had another surgery on it. But it was the second day of OTAs that they shut him down. He's going to go visit with Dr. Neil Alatrash. I believe that's going to happen this week, to go and get it checked out.
Oh, you don't want to hear that name, man.
And Alatrash was the one who did the surgery initially. So it's one of those, Rich, where it's like, I mean, when you're talking about like the soreness coming back in the shoulder, and no, he hasn't had surgery yet, but he's going to have more opinions on it. It just gets you worried, you know, like, so I would say I take both of them very seriously because, you know, anything to do with a quarterback's throwing shoulder, elbow, wrist, whatever is serious. But, you know, like when it's a repeat thing, that's where it's like, oh boy, you know, like, I think it seems, at least right now, like there's a really good chance Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts in week one. And Anthony Richardson faces a lot of uncertainty going forward.
Starting quarterback week one for the Cleveland Browns. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Flacco.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you've talked to Joe. I really appreciate his perspective on things. It's great talking to him. It's like, I mean this in the most endearing way possible. It's like you're talking to the ace pitcher, the slow pitch beer league softball team, talking to him. You know what I mean? Just the great perspective he has about it. Like, you know, how lucky he feels to be out there and what a great time he's having. And I think he's mad. I think he's had a great effect on their quarterback room. You know, that's been a tough place over the last few years for obvious reasons. And, you know, like just in talking to Joe a couple of weeks ago, just hearing his perspective on the whole thing, like how this isn't something I have to do. This is something I get to do. Like OTAs, training for the season, those aren't things I have to do. I get to play in the NFL. And I think, you know, you've seen a certain looseness to him in the way that he's played when he's had the opportunity to play the last couple of years. And so, you know, I think they're going to give Joe the opportunity to go out there and at least give it a go and see what it looks like early in the season, because I think he's probably the guy right now that engenders the most belief on behalf of the other people on that roster because of what he did 2 years ago. Kenny Pickett's still an unknown. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel are rookies. So I think at least to start, unless one of the other guys is outstanding in camp, my guess would be Joe is going to have the opportunity to start. And hey, he said to me, you know, they don't have to give me all the reps right now. You know, they know I'll be ready to go. So even if, you know, you see during mini camp this week, okay, Kenny Pickett's getting the first team reps or one of the two rookies is getting some opportunities, you know, a big part of that is because they have an idea of what Joe Flacco is.
So give me the name of a guy, top of June here, Albert, whose contractual status will linger deep into August, if not early September, if not potentially the season. Give me that guy's name.
I guess the easy answer is Micah Parsons.
Really? Oh, I mean, I thought the easy answer would be Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson.
Or McLaurin. I don't know.
Yeah, I look at Terry McLaurin as different than Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons in that the relationship between Terry and the organization is really strong.
Right.
And they've hit some bumps. There's no question. Talks are not in a great place right now. But he is so important to what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were able to accomplish in year one. And here's the reality of it. You know, as well as I do, Rich, like the way the rules are and have been since 2011 make it really hard to stage a holdout or any kind of wildcat strike in the summer. It's costly, right? So if you're going to make your point, spring is generally the time to do it, especially if you're a guy like this. So I have to think that cooler heads are going to prevail in the case of Terry. I think the other two are really unpredictable. Like, I think Micah, after what happened last year with Dak and CD, and the market having changed with, I mean, I think the average per year now has to start with a four because of what Myles Garrett got. I think that one could wind up being pretty bumpy. You know, there's even been like the back and forth between the agent David Mulugeta and the owner Jerry Jones. So, I think that one
is that because Jerry needed maybe somebody to send him the contact card for his phone.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much offense David took to that, but it's certainly got his attention.
You think? It's not his first rodeo, man.
I mean, it's one of the more prominent agents in the NFL, if not the most prominent agent in the NFL right now. So I don't know how that was all digested. I think it added a really interesting twist to the whole thing. And I do think like Micah, and I don't think Micah's going to do something for less than what, 41, 42, 43, whatever the number is, you know? Jeez. And does he ask for a big jump? Like, remember, he had to wait an extra year too. Like, they could have done this last year. He was eligible last year. So generally a tax comes with waiting the extra year. The trade thing is, I think, even less predictable because this is a three offseason thing now, right? And 2 years ago, they do the 1 year extension, which is a Band-Aid. Last year, they get nothing accomplished. And now they're here. And look, like, I think the Bengals would be well within their rights to say, well, we can't do like a Nick Bosa or a Myles Garrett. Those were like market movers, right? Like Nick Bosa moved the market. Myles Garrett moved the market. We can't do like a market moving deal for you. That said, all right, you have Max Crosby in the mid-30s now, and you have Danielle Hunter in the mid-30s. And I don't know how you tell a guy who had 35 sacks the last 2 years that he doesn't belong at least there. Then you have the element of the structure, which Joe Burrow, the Bengals made exceptions to their contractual rules to do Joe Burrow's deal. Then they made similar exceptions for Ja'Marr Chase, but not T. Higgins. So how does Trey Hendrickson fit into that? So if you see what I'm saying, like, this is all really complicated. So that part of it, then you have the Joe Burrow like pressure element, like Burrow really wants these guys in. Like, so how does that affect everything? The Hendrickson one to me is very, very unpredictable moving forward.
Albert, thank you for the time, sir. We'll chat in short order. Always love connecting with you, pal. Thanks again.
Awesome. Great. Thanks. Appreciate it, Rich. Always good talking to you.
Senior reporter for Sports Illustrated's MMQB, Albert Breer. Read it. I just walked you through some of the stuff, and there's a ton of other stuff that's still that we did not discuss.
That was very civil with you and Breer there. I like that.
I mean, like that. I don't understand what you mean by that. We're always civil to each other.
Yeah, are you, though?
I know. Is he off now? He knows his team sucks.
He hung up as you said that, and I think he tried to unclick.
He's like, what?
I watched that.
Turn the machines back on.
That was him like trying to. Did he keep the elevator button to keep the doors open? Or was it a full Larry David? Like, you couldn't get to it in time. Let's talk about coffee, people. If you're like me, your day cannot begin until you've had your first cup. Whether you're gearing up for back-to-back meetings, shuttling kids back and forth to activities, tackling an endless to-do list, your morning sets the tone for it all, and the perfect cup of coffee sets that tone, crafted just for you. Enter Trade. Trade is my number one U.S. coffee destination, bringing you fresh coffee from over 50 of the country's top roasters. Trade's experts have taste-tested thousands of coffees to curate over 450 amazing roasts. Just take their quiz, and under a minute, they'll match you with your perfect coffee. If that first bag isn't quite right, Trade will replace it for free until they nail it. And if you're headed out on summer vacation with Trade's subscription flexibility, you can pause or shift delivery while you're away and resume when you're home, ensuring you'll come home to great coffee, iced coffee too. So, right now, Trade is exclusively offering our listeners 50% off your one-month trial at drinktrade.com/Eisen. That's drinktrade, TRADE.com/Eisen for 50% off your one-month trial. drinktrade.com/Eisen.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Before you leave, I'd like to play a game that we've created here called Start, Bench, Cut, similar to that, you know, blank, marry, kill game that we always used to play as kids. Okay.
Did we, as kids, play that?
Well, or as collegiate, or adults, or last week.
Yeah, okay. Last week.
We call it Start, Bench, Cut. So you can have to start somebody, bench somebody, and cut somebody, and we will have a Game of Thrones theme to it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What's the first one, Chris Brockman? What do you have for
the first one is your favorite Game of Thrones character.
Okay, hold on. So give him the three.
Khaleesi, Jon Snow, Jorah Mormont.
You have to start, bench, cut. You have to start, bench, one, and cut.
I'm starting Khaleesi, Mother of Dragons, Breaker of Chains. I'm benching Jorah, and I'm cutting Jon.
Wow.
You can't have any rivalry. Jon, he's trying to, you know, that's his aunt, but he's trying to get in there right now.
Oh, my God.
We gotta cut Jon.
Okay. Didn't see that coming.
Okay, it's cutthroat, because we also knew, one of the many times we have conversations, you're a big Jorah fan.
I am, and now that he's got the
back.
Grayscale out, you know,
he's healed.
Okay. So that Jon Snow's out.
And Jon's out, he could be in.
Okay.
Not related.
But yeah, I know he put it on his
head. I don't think that matters.
Yes, Game of Thrones. All right, give another one right there.
Okay, the nastiest MF-er on Game of Thrones.
You have to start one, you have to bench one and cut one.
Ramsay Bolton, Walder Frey, Joffrey.
If it's nastiest, I mean, you got to start Ramsay.
He's the worst.
I mean, he is woke, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst of all time.
Worst of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bench Joffrey because he's close. You know, the stuff that he did. I mean, Sansa's put up with all this crap from the men in her life. She needs to pick better men.
Exactly.
Right? And so I'm going to bench Walder Frey. He's up there, but his death was... Was exciting.
So you cut him. He's out. Yeah. Okay. Well, which he actually was, in fact, cut.
Right. Are you?
Literally, thanks. From all that. Okay. And then we'll just do one more favorite movie. Okay. The three choices are Shawshank Redemption, The Fugitive, You've Got Mail. Start, bench, cut. Aaron
I'm starting The Fugitive. I mean, Tommy Lee and Harrison Ford, fantastic.
The best,
movie.
Right?
I'm going to bench Shawshank. Phenomenal movie as well. And I'm cutting You've Got Mail.
He loves You've Got Mail.
It's not even the best Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's modern times. Online and all that
Sleepless in
stuff.
Seattle?
That was like a phone call on a radio show.
You've got dial-up. You've got dial-up email.
Man,
come on now.
You guys are wrong.
Ah, yes. Aaron Rodgers back in the day at the Super Bowl a few years ago. Now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, life is amazing. Life is wild. That's all on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here.
Hey.
That's a round of applause moment.
Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Blessings.
Good to be seen, man.
Blessings.
You can't see me through those. Oh, there you go.
Hey, I was waiting for you to take yours off.
Well, mine are because I need them to see.
You don't have to flex your disability, bro.
It's called growing older.
That's overrated.
Is that right?
By the way, could you get further away from a Super Bowl than going to the Steelers?
Wow, listen.
Sorry, Pittsburgh. You guys are actually, I love you guys.
Yes,
I love
you
Tomlin.
Can, you can get further away
you
from
the
Super Bowl.
You can play for the Jets. Which he did already.
I'm so sorry, Richard. I set you up for that.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., everybody, is here on The Rich Eisen Show. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, we're back here on Roku. A man who roots for the Dodgers, who are 10-12 in their last 22 games. Ladies and gentlemen, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
That's right. That's
right. Here on the program.
18-2.
Wow.
18-2.
That was two Saturdays ago.
Long time ago. I'll hold on to it forever as long as I work here.
As long as I work here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, feeling good, feeling great.
What are you? Oh, you just upgraded how you're feeling from good to great.
Yeah, I know. It's just that's what the Rich Eisen Show does to you.
Appreciate it.
You know, later today on the No Contest Wrestling Podcast, we got a guest that I'm pretty excited for.
Who do you have?
Miss Money in the Bank, Naomi, will be joining the No Contest Wrestling Podcast. Nice. Pretty big deal. When you win the Money in the Bank contract, it allows you to challenge for any title at any time.
Yes.
Anytime. As long as you have that contract.
Will she make such an announcement on No Contest Wrestling?
Absolutely not.
Definitely not.
Why not?
It's a
got to milk that, man. Got to get the stories. Milk
it, but it's also like a surprise thing, Rich, because you never know. She can do this whenever she like. A champion has a match. Champion gets beat down a little bit. The match is over. You know, you're huffing and puffing. You're hurt. All of a sudden, boom, Naomi could come out, cash in on her. You just never know. You have the element of the surprise on your side.
Okay.
Which is
at all times.
And women have 100% success rate.
It's always
cashing this in and winning the championship.
It's a pretty big deal, Richard. Yeah.
Wow.
And plus,
yes,
it's Naomi is Bear Kutcher's favorite wrestler, so the amount of bonus points that I'm going to get today is just through the roof.
We're killing the game.
Bear Kutcher.
My godson, Bear. Yeah, that's
son of...
Son of his parents.
Oh, Ashton.
Yeah, Ashton.
It's been a while since TJ dropped that name.
Son of his parents.
Bear Kutcher is the hardest name in the world. All right? That's crazy. Well, Bear Kutcher.
I know.
And he played football? Get out of here, dude.
Okay. He's a stud.
And that's
save some for the rest of us.
But I don't understand why you would think she would make this announcement on No Contest Wrestling, because it's been there's a history of surprises. While this podcast has been recorded, I think we've got a photograph. There we go. Wow.
Well, see, Look at that was a reaction.
Yeah, happiness, bro.
That was the middle of the night.
Just TJ is concerned for me because he thinks something happened to somebody I know.
Yeah,
happy with how it's all played out so far?
Well, yeah. What? I got Luka Doncic. Don't you watch? Anyway, Rich. Ridiculous. How do you put up with this? Yeah. He's got a case of the Mondays over there.
No, nothing. Playoff, nothing. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Playoff?
Nothing happened.
Nothing.
I mean, me and you are in Cancun together, brother. All right.
Great.
Go Pacers.
I'm enjoying life. Go Pacers.
Go Pacers.
You're rooting for the Pacers?
Yeah, man.
Why?
Well, first I was rooting for the Knicks because you guys beat Chris Brockman.
Yeah.
But then after that, I just find, and I know Caruso is over there. Caruso's over there on the Thunder. But I find a Laker on a team and I latch on.
Okay.
And shout out to Thomas Bryant. And, you know, Halliburton, hallelujah, bro. He's here.
Halliburton, hallelujah. So Thomas Bryant is the reason why you're rooting for the Pacers?
Thomas Bryant and Alex Caruso are going at it. A Laker's going to win a championship.
Boy,
that's how you look at it.
You should
the only way you can sniff a ring these days.
Yeah, which one should the Lakers have kept?
Alex Caruso.
Of course.
The GOAT.
Dude, that guy is...
The GOAT, bro.
What the hell?
The league tried to tell us that we were just, you're just pumping up another player. Now, all of a sudden, Alex Caruso's this great player. As soon as he takes the purple and gold off, y'all are suckers.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., everybody, along with T.J. Jefferson, about to record No Contest Wrestling.
Ugh.
Money in the bank, baby. Money in the bank.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.